Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
The latest hearing in the Karen Reed case did not just focus on evidence. It turned into a courtroom showdown over credibility, legal ethics, and potential misconduct. The judge did not rule immediately, which means she's carefully weighing the prosecution's claims that Reed's defense team hid financial ties with expert witnesses and possibly influenced testimony. This raises huge questions, not just about the legal battle, but about how investigations are conducted, how evidence is handled, and whether bias could be at play in the courtroom. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, joining us. Jen, as you've dealt with high-stakes investigations where credibility is everything, from an investigative standpoint, how do we separate legitimate concerns about legal misconduct from potential courtroom theatrics? And what signs do you look for to determine whether bias or manipulation may be at play here?
Well, hi, Tony. And I think the number one thing you look for is corroboration of such allegations. In this case, there is a signed agreement, an expert agreement. There is fiduciary proof that money changed hands. Mm-hmm. There are trial transcripts that include not only what was said in open court, but also what was said in sidebar. Mm-hmm. And so you may recall Judge Cannone, the first thing she did at the beginning of that hearing was she said, I want my sidebar transcript entered into evidence as an exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
That was critical when I saw that. Mm-hmm. Another thing that really stood out to me was that I couldn't believe when Alessi took the reins in this thing. In other words, Yannetti, Alan Jackson, they were not willing to stand up for themselves. You've seen in the past during this trial, mm-hmm. when other issues have come up. As an example, the expert, you know, dog individual, when she first was introduced, there were lots of issues too. Mm-hmm. Exactly these same issues, discovery issues, Rule 14 related, as well as who meant who. Did mm-hmm. she call? Did you guys call? Who sought who, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a tete-a-tete back and forth between Cannone and Alan Jackson then, because Alan Jackson told another mistruth. And Cannone catches him. And then how Jackson, you know, finishes it, you know, is basically tomato, tomato. All right. Does it really matter whether I contacted her or she contacted me? And everybody's like, well, yeah, it does, because you just said one thing and it was the other.
Yeah.
So this is all proof, Tony. I mean, this is all facts and transcripts and sworn words. Remember, when a lawyer talks, they're not just a lawyer in the courtroom. They are an officer of the court, and they are withholden to possibly being charged with contempt.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that that won't be a possibility mm-hmm. in her mind.
Yeah, it's really been shocking to watch, and especially when the defense did reply a bit the other day to Cannone. You could hear it, even if you weren't watching it. You could hear in their voices there was some fear. There was some crackling. You could almost hear in some of the responses of "Oh shit." What gets me about this whole thing is Alan Jackson, the team, they're experienced attorneys. They have a good track records. They're not, like I've said before, it's not Better Call Saul, you know, working at the end of a mini mart. They're, you know, pretty good firms and such. Why would they put themselves in this situation? You know, and in a pro bono case, and in a very highly publicized microscopes on it case where this sort of thing would surely get caught. Can this be explained away as we screwed up and then we just kept going and hopefully don't get caught? I mean, what was going on here?
Well, you touched on a couple of things that I think are true misnomers. First of all, they're getting money. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he went on camera and on national television said, none of us are getting paid now. You know, all of a sudden, no one's getting paid. We're all doing this because of principle. I don't believe it. If you look at the GoFundMe that's been established, and it's not GoFundMe because they refuse to assist alleged killers, but the other forum that's being used right now, they've raised right around $700,000. And if you look at where it's going, it clearly states it's his office. I mean, he's the one that's running the show with that money. How it's being dispersed, Lord only knows. We don't really know. But so I think it is a misnomer. I know that's what he wants to come out and say. And to me, he's really made his bet here.
Yeah.
Because now you have fraud.
Yeah.
Because the entirety of the GoFundMe, and I hate to keep saying it, GoFundMe.
Yeah, it's another platform, but we don't need
it. It's another platform.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't need to shame them. Yeah. Well, actually, I would if I could remember the name of the platform. But in any event, that money very specifically says for legal defense, for her, attorney's fees, for her attorneys in this matter and her legal defense. Well, if they're not getting paid, other than experts, what is all that money being used for?
That's a good question.
That is the issue now that he's really raised. They need to change that and say for wardrobe, limos, Botox, and all the other items that could be going to. But just to say it's for legal defense now is really, I think, misleading. Second of all, you said, listen, this is a big law firm. There are a lot of amazing law firms that get a lot of money, but it does not mean they are scrupulous.
Sure.
Absolutely seen some of the... I always said the attorneys that were typically completely by the book and worked so hard for their clients, you're not going to believe this. They were federal public defenders or state public defenders. They worked truly because of what they believe in, not just to make money. And so you look at people that are in the private sector. We obviously know Alan Jackson started out as a prosecutor and, you know, prosecuted a very, very famous Alan Spector and did a fabulous job and was well respected as a prosecutor. But some go over to the defense side and it's a whole new show. And I've seen it with him. I mean, really from the beginning of this case, I pointed this out. Many people did. Just commiserating with your client in the same hotel, drinking, drinking lunches, drinking happy hours, drinking nightlife, all of that commiserating is absolutely unusual in a normal, usual attorney-client situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it doesn't happen because it does, but that's when you start getting so gray. You really do.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I mean, you end up sometimes going to greater lengths for someone that you have more of a personal type relationship with and not necessarily just attorney client in a situation like that. And that's where you can definitely fall into those areas.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.